The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Everybody, Bill Buckmaster along with Ray Allen. Ray has a big smile on his face today, engineering and producing the show for us. Well, why wouldn't he when it's the opening of the baseball season and everybody's all optimistic? It's a new season. Anything can happen. So we're off and running. And spring, that's always a harbinger, isn't it, of spring when you get that opening day. And, of course, Chicago Cubs, who I have followed since being a little kid, got off on the right foot today playing in Florida. First pitch, home run from the Cubs. So let's hope it bodes well for a great season. Buckmaster Show live line 790-2040 if you'd like to join in the conversation on this Thursday afternoon. Back in December, on December 4th, actually, of last year, Bears Ears and Grand Staircase, Escalante National Monuments in Utah, were dramatically downsized by a proclamation of President Trump under the Antiquities Act. Bears was cut by over 1 million acres, 1.1 million acres, and what was left were two non-contiguous parcels that encompassed just over 200,000 acres. Three lawsuits were filed right after the Trump proclamation. All three are contending the president overstepped his authority and that his proclamation is therefore illegal. Let's bring in right now Bill Doley. Dr. Doley is president and CEO of Archaeology Southwest, a nonprofit organization based here in Tucson. Bill is also our newest contributor. We have over 24 contributors to this show, and we're proud to have Bill on board. Bill, how are you, sir?
I'm good, and congratulations on those Cubs.
Yeah, the Cubs are off on the right foot. It's always fun to follow the Cubs. For years, of course, they were the doormats of Major League Baseball, but hey, they did bring home a pennant, so they're back and. Hopefully it'd be a great season. Bill, where are we on these lawsuits?
Well, I mean, I think the word doormats actually applies to what the government is doing to folks with bear's ears. There's been a recent news documentation that when they downsized like that, the Department of Interior paid very close attention to where there are oil and gas and uranium resources within the original 1.35 million acres of the national monument that President Obama established. So energy leases are a threat to the areas that are that 85% of the monument that was sort of pushed out. And the those kind of protections that would have been in included in new management plans will also be not provided to the densest areas, and some of the most important resources were not included in this area that President Trump excluded in his December 4th proclamation. So we're all kind of puzzled as to where did they come up with those boundaries and why would they leave out some of the very most important places in the original monument.
Now, these lawsuits, do they prohibit immediate exploration on those lands in the national monument, the previous lands that were included in the national monument, or can oil and gas exploration begin there? Or is there a hold here?
Well, in the short run here, while these lawsuits make their way through the courts, which actually will probably be a long run, the Trump proclamation, the downsizing, is basically the law of the land. So the Bureau of Land Management, for example, is rushing into trying to create management plans for these new downsized 200,000 acres out there. And so that's, they're trying to basically push forward and pretend that the 1.35 million acres was never never really a contention.
This is really a very, very large downsizing of these monuments, isn't it?
85% is a pretty big number, yes.
It is indeed, and it doesn't really leave well, let's talk about what's left, Bill Doley, and how will that remaining acreage be managed? And I guess that is the question, immediate question, right?
Yes. They've already announced the scoping process, the initial identifying of issues. So the BLM and the Forest Service are starting that process right now. And what I've been told is that they're only focusing their attention on the 200,000 acres. There are some significant places that are still inside the monument. There's no doubt about that. But really, the whole 1.35 million acres held together as a very large-scale cultural landscape, and it was a place that had strong Native American connections to their heritage. So those things held together at the landscape scale. Now we're dealing with disjunct two different units with two little tiny focused on single settlements in addition to the acreage that was a little bit more extensive, the $100,000 acre segment. So it's now kind of a mishmash of things that doesn't hold together in the way that it did previously.
Well, how does this impact, in the long run, Ironwood National Monument or Sonoran Desert National Monument or the Agua Fria National Monuments here in Arizona, Bill Doley?
Well, I think that those seem to be, it's really been Utah, and maybe there's still going to be an attempt to downsize something over in Nevada, but it seems to be Utah was the focus of the downsizing effort. So I think our monuments here in southern Arizona are safe, and you know, in many ways, that's what I kind of recommend that your listeners and the folks that live in this area do, is to get out there and enjoy these special places that we have ready access to, and share that information as to why that's important with our elected officials, because these are our public lands. They're absolutely wonderful for recreation. They preserve extensive landscapes that with natural resources and archaeological and places that are sacred to Native peoples, those places you can actually go out and experience directly. So let your elected officials know how important our public lands are.
Before we let you go, archaeologysouthwest.org is your website. That's the place for a special issue that you have put out titled Sacred and Threatened, which really digs deep into the Greater Bears Ears cultural landscapes. How can folks get a hold of that, Bill?
Yeah, we went all out on this one. It's 64 pages, wonderful color photographs, and opportunity to get a feel for that area. And it's really easy to find. Go to our website. It's the www.archaeologysouthwest.org, spelled out there. And right on the front page, there's a on the lower left side, there's a place that you can click on. It's only $10 for this 64-page masterpiece, and it's an opportunity, too, to become an annual member of Archaeology Southwest. You would receive that as your first of your annual four issues of the magazine. So
it is a terrific magazine, and by the way, I am a member and have been for years. You guys do a great job. Bill, thank you very much.
Thank you, Bill, and on Chicago.
There you go. Dr. Bill Doley is president and CEO of the Tucson-based nonprofit Archaeology Southwest. Time for a great lunch up at Mona's Danish Bakery. Boy, I could taste that wonderful bread right now that they use in their sandwiches up at Mona's. Mona's is on the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. They've got some great baked goods, of course. I'm very partial not only to the breads, but the brownies are wonderful too. Oh, and those croissants. How about a ham and cheese done on one of those croissants? Would be terrific. Go to my website, buckmastershow.com, for a link to Mona's Danish Bakery. This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport with 6 airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections. I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. In case you haven't heard, a recent state performance audit says the Regional Transportation Authority is meeting performance and budget expectations on voter-approved RTA plan delivery. Now in its 12th year of plan implementation, the RTA is committed to delivering the remaining projects with the community's support to improve our regional transportation system. Working together for a better future, visit rtamobility.com.
For almost 40 years, the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona has worked with individuals, families, businesses, and nonprofits to create a stronger community. We connect you with the causes you care about, transforming your vision for our community into meaningful, charitable impact. Make a difference now and forever. Please visit cfsaz.org or call 520-777-0800 to learn more about the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona.
Explore the world of discovery at UA Biosphere 2 with our 3 new guided tours. The Under the Glass, History, and Family Tours have been developed to provide new ways to experience the world's largest living research center, where scientists are addressing the global challenges of food, water, energy, and health. Check out these exciting new themed tours today. For a complete schedule, visit biosphere2.org.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Friday, we talk with Congressman Raul Grijalva. The Friday Roundtable features Jim Nintzel of the Tucson Weekly and Tim Steller of the Arizona Daily Star. Matt Russell has Weekend Watch during the noon hour on AM 1030, KVOI, Tucson's voice, and we're always on buckmastershow.com. Green Things is our favorite nursery here in town. If you've not been over there, Check it out, 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk. They've just posted on the website there, greenthingsaz.com. The schedule really for the next many weeks, these free workshops that they do are really a bonus to all gardeners in town. Jan and Jack, the owners, they're very hands-on. They started with 4 acres there. They're at 13 acres. It's a really destination in itself, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. Today's New York Times saying Democrats hope to ride a wave of liberal enthusiasm and anti-Trump sentiment to a House majority in the midterm elections in November. All 435 House seats are up for grabs, but only about 48 are considered competitive. And when I say competitive, that they rate that as toss-up or leaning toward one party, and leaning right now toward the Democratic Party is Congressional District Number 2. That's the seat that's held by Republican Martha McSally, who is not seeking re-election to Congress. She is running for U.S. Senate. Bruce Wheeler is with us, Democrat Bruce Wheeler, former Tucson City Councilman, former state legislator, longtime Tucsonan. He is one of 6 candidates running in the Democratic primary. Bruce, how are you?
Bill, very good. Thank you. How are you?
Doing very well. Thank you for asking. So let me ask right off the bat, Bruce, are all 6 going to make the ballot?
I believe so. At least 5 of us should make the ballot by May 30th.
Ms. Cherry was having some difficulty with her signatures. We had her on the program, and she admitted it's going to be a tough thing for her to make the
uphill,
ballot.
But yeah, she's uphill. Really a wonderful person.
She
and
is.
I spoke to her about the same thing, and she told me she was having trouble. I said, just get out there and get them.
Yep. And a lot of people don't realize it, but you can really only sign for one candidate.
That's correct.
You can't sign for everybody.
One candidate, that's it.
So give us kind of the summary of how this thing is developing.
Well, I don't pretend to be a master, Bill, but certainly what's obvious is that, first of all, to begin with, the strategic reason, part of the reason for me running isn't just anti-Trump, it's my beliefs and what's going on in the country and what we need to stand for, we Democrats, we candidates. But on the surface of things, we know as 2 weeks ago, we needed 24 House seats to turn in order to take over the House of Representatives and therefore have true checks and balances. Well, with Pennsylvania, the victory there, we're one down, 23 more to go. CD2, as you mentioned, and as the Times mentions, is a very swing district. So you had Ron Barber, unfortunately, lose to McSally by 167
votes. Yeah,
that was
really a close vote.
But then 2 years later, McSally defeats Matt Hines by 43,000 votes.
Yeah.
And at the same time that Hillary Clinton beat Donald Trump in the same district in the same election. So it is a swing district. As you mentioned, 6 of us Democrats, 5 Republicans, and we're working as hard as we can so we can make sure we get through the primary and take nothing for granted. We don't take this New York Times article for granted. We're going to have to work real hard, not just to win the primary, but go through the general.
Well, there have been a lot of events already, and my goodness, still got months to go before the primary in late August, but there have been a lot of events that have put all of the candidates, usually all, but sometimes not all of them, together. And what seems to be, if you had to pick out what one campaign issue, what is emerging as the one that comes out that people want to talk about?
One is always tough, but let's start with
medical
care. I'll take that one. Medical care, medical coverage is essential, even with the ACA. And as much as that was a step forward, it still leaves 27 million Americans without health insurance. That's an unresolved crisis that's obviously very tough on those families. And then, of course, there's the dark money issue, the Citizens United. And we need to overturn that for the sake of democracy. Because the minute that we do interpret, the Supreme Court interprets corporations as people with equal rights as you and I as individuals, we're in trouble. And when the Koch brothers and other literal billionaires, members of what I call the new American oligarchy, when they can spend unlimited, untraceable amounts of money, to influence an election, we've got a problem in preserving our democracy.
And how do you view the, there are five candidates, and whether all five of the Republicans will actually get on the ballot? That is a question, too. It's kind of Leah Marquez Peterson, who has the name value, and then the other four.
David Morales, a former city council member from Douglas.
Yeah, and we had this Mr. Welsh, I interviewed him, and he made no bones about sending all the Dreamers back.
It's going to be a fascinating general election because I'm ready to take on whoever emerges from the Republican primary and doesn't have the courage or the heart or the empathy to support our Dreamers and allow them to stay in this country and continue to be productive citizens.
You could see that as emerging, whoever comes out of the Democratic primary, you could see that as the issue in this district, the general election.
It certainly is. The entire border area, it's not just border security, but it's economic trade. Sonora is the biggest trading partner that we have with Arizona does, and it right now it looks like a militarized zone instead of an economic zone. And we ought to, those of us that have lived here for decades, remember we could cross back and forth easily. There were not these problems. The economy was booming on both sides, and now we've got barrier after barrier, which affects our lifestyle, which affects our economy and our trade and prospects for a better economic future.
Now, of course, we've heard that Ann Kirkpatrick, the former congresswoman who ran unsuccessfully for the U.S. Senate, has all sorts of money in this campaign now, and you're kind of on the other end of that. You don't have
you're being nice
all sorts of money, Bruce Wheeler. So, how big a deal is that in this district?
Money is always important. We're trying to show again, not just through Citizens United. We're trying to show in this campaign that with my campaign being really grassroots, person to person, and moving and being through as many functions as possible and telling people what we stand for, this campaign is more about that than money. We want to show that money, although it's important to have enough, and I feel confident that our campaign has enough and will have enough, it's not about money. So with all due respect to former Congresswoman Kirkpatrick, she raised over $1 million and she spent over half of that. I don't know that she has put herself up front above anyone else other than...
She's already spent half of it?
I believe it was over $477,000 last time I saw, and that was a couple months ago. So I don't think that the money issue or the endorsement issue is that big of a deal.
All right, let's go to the live line, 790-2040. Caller Matthew. Hey, Matthew.
Hey, first of all, I just want to say... from a outside perspective, it's clear that Matt Hines and Ann have the fundraising capability, but it's also clear that from the name recognition, it's you and Matt. And so, thank you for running and making this a very substantive forum. My question to you is, how many of the candidates have reached out as far as Sierra Vista? Because, as CD2 does have an office in Sierra Vista, and how is that going? What do you see for whoever comes out of this primary being able to, engage what I call rural Arizona? Thank you very much. Bye. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Matthew. Good points, and mm-hmm. thank you for your comments. Sierra Vista is critical. All of Cochise is critical. Sierra Vista, Fort Huachuca, Douglas, Benson, Bisbee, I've been to them all. We've had forums where all six of us appeared in where was it, Sierra Vista not too long ago. So I don't think any of us are taking that for granted. We need to be there. We need to be present. And speaking for myself, I certainly am. And I know I have a lot of supporters in those areas in Cochise County.
So what are you, you're probably out on the road almost every day, aren't you?
Every single day that I can, yes, mm-hmm. absolutely. Not necessarily Cochise County, but yes, out on the road campaigning, yes, Bill.
Do they have different sensibilities down there as far as what they believe the issues are in Cochise County, or everybody on the same page, do you think?
There are specific sensibilities. The border, obviously, is one of them. We mentioned the economic deterioration because of the barriers and the militarization of the border. We mentioned healthcare a moment ago. For rural healthcare institutions, that's a real serious problem. When I was part of the legislature as the assistant leader and we got Medicaid expansion passed in Arizona in 2013, that was partly to help rural, well, health institutions, hospitals all over the state. But in rural areas, they were very, very impacted negatively by what was going on. And we needed Medicaid expansion, which is why Governor Brewer joined us in that effort. And we got enough Republicans to do it. So rural health care and the border and the economy are specific in some cases, even more than right here.
All right. That is Bruce Wheeler. Bruce, where can people find out more about the campaign? What is your website?
My website is WheelerForCongress2018.com.
Right. Thank you very much, Bruce.
Thanks,
good
Bill,
to see
as
you.
Always.
Thanks.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects to help make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient. Improve regional mobility is important for economic vitality for businesses and families. The RTA continues to finance construction work for 6 new roadway projects scheduled in 2018. For more information on RTA projects, visit rtamobility.com. The RTA is delivering its promise to you.
With spring in the air, summer will be here before you know it. At Bon Voyage Travel, we want to help you stay cool through the hot summer months, and there's no better way than a Holland America cruise to Alaska. There are hundreds of dates and itineraries to create your perfect Alaska vacation. Why not add a Rocky Mountaineer train journey while you're there to explore all of North America? Call Bon Voyage Travel today at 797-1110 or visit bvtravel.com.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
An Indian food lover's paradise awaits at Indian Twist, located at the southwest corner of Swan and Camp Lowell, with a varied and extensive menu including vegetarian options and many dishes prepared in the tandoor oven. Indian Twist offers takeout and buffet lunch daily, with dinner served family style. The full bar features Indian beers on tap. Indian Twist, Swan and Camp Lowell, and IndianTwistAZ.com.
Well, 12:34 on the Buckmaster Show on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's voice. We have our worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, one of our fine sponsors, makes a great weekend getaway. It's just a three-hour drive to Silver City, and it's a lot cooler over there as our temperatures heat up. It's 15 degrees cooler in the area because of their, 5,000 to 6,000 foot elevation. Great place to do hiking and camping. Just hang out. Check out southwestnewmexico.org for the complete list of great places to stay and visit in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Let's welcome now Democrat Deidre Hill Abboud. She is running for the U.S. Senate in the Democratic primary against three-term Congresswoman Kyrsten Sinema, and a Muslim American candidate. She's the founding director of the Council on American Islamic Relations, the Arizona chapter. Deidre, how are you?
Good, and it's Deidre Abboud.
Abboud. Deidre Hill Abboud. I have got it there. Thank you so much. How is the campaign going?
Excellent. We're traveling all over Arizona, getting people excited about the possibilities for 2018.
And what are people excited about? What are your issues?
Well, generally, people are excited about the opportunity to have so many candidates running all over Arizona in the federal and state races, so we have so many choices and we get to discuss the issues. Personally, my biggest issues are health care for all. Every industrialized country has figured it out. We can, too. Education, it's an infrastructure issue. That's how we got where we are. If we continue to defund it, we're going nowhere. Separation of religion and state, no one has religious liberty unless everybody has religious liberty, including people who don't want religion. And net neutrality, because we can't allow corporations to control our access to internet based on their relationships with other corporations. It's an absolute freedom issue.
What are your qualifications to be a U.S. senator?
I'm an attorney. I practiced immigration and estate planning, and I've been a civil rights and social activist in Arizona for 15 years, holding politicians accountable.
There have been some, you've been the target of really some nasty comments on your Facebook page from people who are assuming that you are a Middle Eastern immigrant, and which you are not. You're originally from Arkansas and converted to Islam in your 20s. How have you handled all of those Facebook comments?
On the campaign page, there's not a lot you can do there. On my personal Facebook page, I handle a lot more. The real concern is in real life. Though I'm running for office, so it's bringing it to the surface. People get these comments all the time. They get this hate all the time. They get this discrimination even in the workplace and schools all the time. We're just not aware of it because they're not high profile and it's not being publicly discussed. I handle it with love, compassion, and logic. I understand that there's so much misinformation that causes people to have false ideas about their neighbors, and I am trying to get out there and show us that we need to stop letting people who are financially gaining on deliberately making us hate our neighbors and instead get to know our neighbors, because we have a lot more in common and we need to solve big problems, and we can only do that together.
What was it about Islam? What was the attraction? Were you raised in a conservative Christian background? Tell us how that happened.
I was raised, my dad was Southern Baptist, not fundamentalist Southern Baptist, so it's not quite as strict. And my mom was Methodist, so I also was raised in that church. you know, religion was pretty much part of our culture. I wouldn't say that we were particularly strict. However, I did practice religion, and women's issues and women's liberation was a big issue for me. So basically, I was taught in sixth grade, social studies in public school, that women in the Middle East were property of men, that all people in the Middle East were Muslim, and women had to walk two steps behind men with their head down, which, you know, pretty much made me hate Muslims. Then in seventh grade, public school, social studies, I learned that Muslims were all going to hell, along with everybody else that wasn't Protestant Christian, so even the Catholics were going to hell. That kind of actually made me question things, because I was wondering why, if God is loving, everybody was going to hell. And then in college, I started trying to convert Middle Eastern exchange students to Christianity, explaining to them that they were all going to hell because they treated their women badly, didn't believe in Jesus and Mary. They explained to me that they did believe in Jesus and Mary, and the religion actually tells you to treat women well, but some people fail to do that. And as I studied the religion more in order to be more convincing to convert them to Christianity, I started liking what I heard. I liked that Islam actually did spell out that women had a certain status in society, and they had so much more freedom to be who they wanted to be historically, and that had gotten distorted culturally in some countries, not all countries. There's actually been a lot of female prime ministers in majority Muslim countries. And so eventually I decided I liked the religion, really didn't see it as a option in Arkansas at the time. Mainly there was just Middle Eastern students there, which, you know, I've seen not without my daughter, so that was kind of scary. But when I moved to Arizona, there was an entire community here. They lived here, they were invested here, they even had a cemetery here, so they were buried here. So I saw it much more as an option for me.
All right. Speaking with Deidre Hill Abood, Democrat running for the U.S. Senate, what has been the reaction to your campaign as you've traveled around the state?
It's been really good. People are very excited to talk about the issues. The majority of people want to actually talk about the issues. I have some people who want to know about, you know, how I view my religion, especially in women's rights, because I'm a big advocate of women's rights. And with all the misinformation out there, it's assumed that I couldn't be both. Mm-hmm. But I am, and many people are. It's actually a misunderstanding within and outside of the Muslim community that women have a second-class status. But women don't believe that, and there's a lot of work to be done. But mainly people want to talk about how we can move our country forward.
Where can people find out more information about you, your website?
My website is www.deedra2018.com. We're on all the social medias. We're even on YouTube, and it's all Deidre 2018.
And it's got all of your issues and your policy initiatives laid out there, I assume.
Actually, I have the most detailed website of any Arizona U.S. Senate candidate. So I believe in transparency. I don't take special interest or corporate money. Even all of my personal social media is public, because people should know that your personal and your public life match.
How many candidates do you think there will be in the Democratic primary, would you say, at this point?
Right now there are five, assuming everybody made the ballot. That would be five. I know for sure two of us will be on the ballot. I already have my signatures. I'm just getting the extra cushion. And one other candidate, so there could be three.
Okay. Deidre, thank you very much for visiting with us.
Okay. Thank you for having me.
Thanks a lot. Right. That is Deidre Hill Abood. And she is a Democrat, and looks like maybe, as she says, maybe two, maybe three candidates in the Democratic primary on the Senate side. We'll take our break right now. Dancing in the Streets, Arizona, celebrating its 10-year anniversary, a big time, and we'll talk about it.
For almost 40 years, the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona has worked with individuals, families, businesses, and nonprofits to create a stronger community. We connect you with the causes you care about, transforming your vision for our community into meaningful, charitable impact. Make a difference now and forever. Please visit cfsaz.org or call 520-777-0800 to learn more about the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona.
Explore the world of discovery at UA Biosphere 2 with our three new guided tours. The Under the Glass, History, and Family Tours have been developed to provide new ways to experience the world's largest living research center, where scientists are addressing the global challenges of food, water, energy, and health. Check out these exciting new themed tours today. For a complete schedule, visit biosphere2.org.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Today, more than ever, consumers want to work with a business they trust. Hi, this is Suzanne Miller with your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, reminding you that thousands of consumers go to tucson.bbb.org every week to inquire about trustworthy businesses. Is your business accredited with BBB? To find out more, call Celeste Angelini at 520-345-5837 or go to tucson.bbb.org and remember to always start with trust.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, and we have Joey Rogers with us and Celeste Loop, who are the founders and artistic directors of Dancing in the Streets Arizona, which is celebrating this year its 10th anniversary as a nonprofit organization that really has done just a wonderful job in creating excitement and bringing a discipline to ballet to kids of all abilities and at-risk youth. And it really gives these children an opportunity to have a stake in the community. And that's kind of what it's all about. First of all, Joey and Celeste, congratulations, not just on the 10-year anniversary, but today is your 10th wedding anniversary.
Yep. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Thank Bill. You.
And Celeste, it's great to see you as well. And you gave Joey a lovely 10th anniversary gift, which he has now has on. It's around his neck. Why don't you describe it there, Joey?
Oh, it's a...
looks like it's a lot of turquoise there.
Footprint of a wildcat. Meow.
Ooh.
And it's a bear claw.
Bear claw.
It's a bear claw.
Which is good luck. Bad.
Yes, and it was handmade by a Native American buffalo dancer from New Mexico.
Yes.
Found it in the gem show.
Gem show. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you two were married 10 years ago, and did the marriage come before then the creation of dancing?
Yes.
In the streets.
Well, actually, so Joey and I met in ballet school as teenagers, so we've been together longer than 10 years. But when we got married in March, and it was actually our wedding gifts that gave us the startup funds to start dancing.
We started in the streets,
August of 2008. So we got married in March and started in August.
Right.
Tell our listeners, Joey, a little bit about your background.
Oh, my background's I'm a native born from Southside Park, native from Tucson, and did all my dancing here. And
where'd you get your dancing experience?
Oh, from a German lady named Maria Morton, who had a little dance school called the Tucson
Academy of Dance.
Academy of Dancing. Mm-hmm. So that's where I got all of my training from her.
Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. That was Celeste. In the early 60s. Mm-hmm. Maria Morton, for those people that don't know ballet history in Tucson.
Right. Yeah. So what was the vision, both of you, I'd like to hear, for dancing in the streets? What was the goal? What was the mission? And have you stayed true to that 10 years later?
Right. Go ahead, honey. Go ahead.
Well, when Joey and I, again, met as teenagers, moved away and came back. Mm. And when we came back, Joey grew up on South Park Avenue and looked around, and there really wasn't anything there in terms of performing arts, no ballet. There was a lot of mural things and a lot of folklorico, a lot of mariachi, but in terms of classical ballet, there really wasn't anything there. And since that had been such an important part of both of our lives, we would not have met had it not been for ballet school.
For ballet, absolutely.
And Joey's life wouldn't have probably gone another direction had he not had ballet to fall back on.
Right. So.
And he just wanted to give back to the community. Plus,
A barbecue.
Yeah.
A bunch of kids came out, and I usually have this little trick of a little dance, and one kid, I say, hey, there any other kids? I'll give you $5 if you can master this step.
Uh-huh.
And next thing I know, all these kids came out of this house because they're all inside playing video games in different parts of the room. So next thing I know, we're in the garage, and the owner's like, can you go out in the middle of the street? And
I took
the kids in the middle of the streets, and here I am teaching ballet in the middle of the streets. That's one of
that's where our name came
name
from.
Come
and the kids
came.
Were hungry for it.
Dancing in the streets.
Yes. Exactly.
So it all started in the street.
Yeah, exactly. You really did, because at that moment I was just thinking, wow, these kids are very hungry just to learn something new, something fresh. And
The students, the kids, they just soak it up.
Mm-hmm.
It's the parents that have all of the attitudes negatively about my child won't like ballet. And so we've always said, well, have they tried it? Have you tried it?
Right.
No.
And
so what
kids
have you got to lose?
Kids are really open to trying.
Kids are open to trying things.
So what are the ages of the kids? When do they start?
Three.
Young. Huh?
Yeah. We start them at three all the way up to adults.
A matter of fact, this class, this 10 years, this is really the first class of students that we've had since they were three.
Mm-hmm.
So our older class of kids that are now 13 through 17, and we've got some adult students, they are the first class we've had that we've had them since three.
Since they've been,
we trained them.
And how has the organization grown? How many children do you think have really taken advantage of your services over the years?
Wow, that's a good question.
Well, I have the statistics. Over 10 years, we've served more than 5,000 students.
I was going to say, I bet it is in the thousands.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And out of those students, we've had kids that have graduated from college. We have one professional dancer who's going to be dancing in our upcoming production.
Mm-hmm. He's, that we're going to tell people about.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And we've got high school graduates. Mm-hmm. We've got 90% of the Tucson High Dance Department either trained with us or is training with us now.
Right.
And
right.
The upcoming event, really to celebrate the 10-year anniversary, is the Sleeping Beauty Ballet. The venue is going to be the Temple of Music and Art.
Correct.
Right? And that's mm-hmm. coming up on Sunday, April 8th at 2 in the afternoon. Who will be involved? There's quite a bit. Quite a cast, I guess.
Oh, right. Absolutely. Yeah. This is truly a community event. We have special guests. We have the Civic Orchestra of Tucson, mm-hmm. which is an all-volunteer orchestra.
Multi-generational, too.
Right.
And it's, they're doing live music, so they're, it's live music.
Yeah, so we've been working with them. We have community leaders. Who's going to be in the show? As
including State Senator Todd Klodfelter. I hope I haven't massacred his name.
So we got him in dancing in the show, and
really?
Yes,
yeah,
and he's doing really well.
Yeah,
he's cool. A little theatrical.
Yeah,
I did not know.
Neither did we.
Have to ask him about that.
Oh yeah, call him out on that.
Yeah, call him out. So this production has been in the works. You've probably been in rehearsal for a while.
Oh, since August.
Okay.
We actually I get the theater dates almost a year in advance. To get the theater, and then once we decide on the production, we start right away. But it's been challenging because kids come and go, and
a lot of them come, some of them stay, so it's a lot. It's we try to work with the kids and the families, you know, so.
But, we have two sessions a year, so we go August through December, and then we go January through May. So sometimes what happens is we rehearse and rehearse and rehearse, and then in January they move away.
Right.
After all that, right?
You're right.
Yeah, after all that, exactly. Yeah. So.
We're speaking with Joey Rogers and Celeste Loop, who they are the founders and the artistic directors of Dancing in the Streets Arizona Sleeping Beauty Ballet, and the price point is great. It starts... Celeste at $12, and it goes up to $35, so it'd be wonderful to fill the venue.
Would be fabulous. You know, the other thing that's really mm-hmm. important is our founding board president, I'm sure the community knows, Marion Lupu.
Yes,
so
your mom.
She's still, mm-hmm. her loss is still felt with Dancing the Streets organization, so it's more important than ever that we continue her work.
Work, yes.
Her advocacy with seniors and youngsters in the whole cycle of cradle to grave.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought your mom up because she was, of course, such a iconic figure in this community, and people think about her, you know, with what she did for older people and aging issues. But she was really a big supporter from day one of Dancing in the Streets Arizona.
Not only was she a big supporter, we would not be where we are without her knowledge and
her
guidance and her wisdom.
Absolutely.
I mean, and really she connected the circle. She liked to call it her encore career.
Mm-hmm.
And so she set the example for many seniors that after one professional career is ended, you can still cycle
doesn't
in.
Doesn't
mean
that you're dead.
Yeah. And she was never a big one to get into this whole, the word retire. She didn't.
I agree
with her wholeheartedly on that I don't even like the word retire because it's almost like, well, the body just said it's time to start
shutting down the system.
You know?
Where's my cax getting buried?
Yeah. I would go with like retooling or
encore career.
Encore next chapter.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
But your mom has really missed. How long has it been since she passed?
She passed
at
away.
At age 91.
91, yes, August 2016.
It's going to be coming up 2 years now.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So let's dedicate Sleeping Beauty Ballet to her. Certainly.
Well, matter of fact, Bill, Sleeping Beauty is on her birthday.
Ooh.
Yeah. So,
April 8th.
How weird is that?
Sunday, April 8th.
She would have been 92 years old.
She would have been, 93.
90, yeah, if she 93, passed,
that's
yeah,
right.
She'd be
right.
93.
She passed in 2016.
So yeah, her birthday is the day of the show. So that's, I don't know if that's a,
it's a blessing.
Blessing.
It is. No,
you know,
it's a sign.
It's a great sign.
It is. Yeah. So let's again go over some of the nuts and bolts of the show, when it is, and the money involved with getting into the show.
Well, it's April 8th at the Temple of Music and Art, 330 South Scott. People can visit our website at DITSAZ.org to purchase tickets. You can purchase tickets over the phone, online, or at the box office 1 hour the day before the show. We have guest artists from the community. We have guest artists, professional ballerina doing the role from Savannah, Georgia, and one of our own students who's a professional from State Street Ballet coming home to
Very cool. So pretty much the show is, you know, we have kids, but we have professional quality as well. So
it's going to be a professional show.
It's a progression. You'll see the little ones progress to the professionalism.
There's something for everyone.
There you go. Joey, great to see you. Celeste as well. Congratulations on your 10-year wedding anniversary today and the anniversary of Dancing in the Streets, Arizona. All the best to both of you.
Well, thank you so much, Bill.
You're the bomb. You know that.
Thanks very much. Coming up this afternoon, mic check with Mike Shaw. Ray will help him out, Ray Allen. So that program is from 4 to 6, then Wake Up Tucson 6 to 9, then me, Bill Buckmaster. Tomorrow we have Congressman Raul Grijalva as my Friday Focus interview tomorrow. On behalf of Celeste, Joey, Ray Allen, my fine engineer producer, we hope you have a great afternoon and evening.